This is a special Thanksgiving Day episode of The Shawnakey entitled Fun with the Bird. For The Shawnakey, I'm Patrick McLean. It should be obvious to anyone who listens to this podcast that books have an effect on me. I'm very sensitive to words, and more importantly, to the spaces between the words. You see, there are thousands of syntactic and lexical choices that could be made with just this sentence. And I believe that the choices a writer makes grants one a window into their inner workings as a person. This makes writing a very personal and revealing act. But it also makes reading a source of much more than information. You see, Charles Darwin is extremely dead, so I can't ask him questions. But the way he thought is preserved in what and how he wrote. Something of the utterly unique way that Walt Whitman approached life is locked into his lines. And Emerson? Whew, well, I think at times Emerson must have been taking dictation from the mind of God himself. And since Thanksgiving is upon us, I'd like to share some well-written words about food. I like cooking. I generally like making stuff, and cooking is a subset thereof. I'm the one who cooks Thanksgiving dinner for the family, and during the rest of the year, my mom and sister regularly call me for cooking advice. I guess I've always enjoyed cooking, but what really set me off with the cooking was Mark Bittman's magnificently and accurately titled book, How to Cook Everything. Whitman said, I was simmering, simmering, simmering. Emerson brought me to a boil. In a similar fashion, I had been simmering, sautéing, and even flambéing, but Mark Bittman got me to do it more often, with better result, and with much more gusto. And it's my hope that these words from the introduction to his best-selling cookbook will inspire you on what is really our only food-focused holiday. Inspire you to cook if you do not, and to enjoy it more if you do. Anyone can cook. And most everyone should. It's a sorry sign that most people consider cooking from scratch an unusual and even rare talent. In fact, cooking is a simple and rewarding craft, one that anyone can learn and even succeed at from the get-go. Until the last half century, every household had someone who cooked from scratch all the time. It was only during World War II that convenience began to drive the American food industry. And following the war, mass-produced canned goods, originally developed for the GI, were marketed to civilians. Frozen foods became de rigueur, and manufactured foods like oleomargarine began to replace real ones, like butter. More recently, the majority of women have joined the majority of men in the workforce, and few families have an individual whose full-time job is that of homemaker. Add to that the pervasive nature of contemporary marketing, which has convinced many people that fast food is not only quicker than home cooking, but better and cheaper. It is neither, and in fact only marginally faster, if that. And you have a culinary crisis. The result is that fine old American home cooking, a style which took advantage of the abundance of a bountiful land but always set aside extra for bad times, has largely been replaced by a style that might be called the faster the better. Flavor, nutrition, tradition, and enjoyment are often sacrificed at the sacred altar of so-called convenience. As far as I'm concerned, convenience is one of the two dirty words of American cooking, reflecting the part of our natural character that is easily bored. The other is gourmet. Convenience foods demonstrate our supposed disdain for the routine and mundane. I don't have time to cook. The gourmet phase, which peaked in the 80s when food was seen as art, showed our ability to obsess about aspects of daily life that most other cultures take for granted. You might only cook once a week, but wow, what a meal! Both of these tendencies are the enemies of good everyday cooking, one of the few simple routine joys of everyday life. The irony is that most gourmet foods and many convenience foods are equally difficult to prepare from scratch. Can you imagine what it takes to duplicate a chicken McNugget with sweet and sour sauce? Luckily, several factors have combined in recent years to show us that good food could indeed be simple. In our search for new flavors, we began to look at the traditional regional cuisines of both the United States and the rest of the world. Equally important in the long run was the philosophy, now self-evident but first popularized in the 70s, by pace-setting Berkeley chef Alice Waters and many others, that good ingredients were the basis of good cuisine. These factors, combined with a seismic interest in Italian food, resulted in a more mature, healthier attitude among many eaters. Still, there remain several challenges. Many people never learn how to cook. An equal number believe that they don't have time, and some define cooking as heating up frozen food in a microwave oven. Much of this stems from the fact that many members of the last couple of generations, myself included, did not grow up witnessing their mothers carrying on the traditions of their grandmothers. The reasons for this do not fall within the scope of this book, but involve our national transience, our largely immigrant heritage, and the entrance of the majority of mothers into the workforce. For all but the poorest of Americans, there remains an embarrassment of riches when it comes to food. We are able to scorn leftovers, to buy almost every food pre-prepared, even salad, to eat out daily, to rely heavily on frozen foods. Yet although we may gain marginal amounts of time by doing these things, we lose the delights of working in the kitchen, the wonders of creation, the pleasures of time spent in the honest pursuit of tradition, and the nourishment of our bodies and those of our family. We could all complain about the quality of ingredients at the supermarket. All mass-produced food is grown or raised for its hardiness, profitability, shelf life, and ability to withstand the rigors of transit, rather than for its flavor and nutritional value. Most of it comes to us from hundreds, if not thousands, of miles away. Little of it is truly fresh, and it is sold to us not by individuals who raised it or even selected it, but by anonymous corporations. Nevertheless, even supermarket food is frequently of reasonably high quality, flavorful, and almost uniformly safe to eat. Furthermore, our world-beating distribution system delivers to us an incomparable variety of food, including imports that were once found only in the swankiest shops. At prices that are so low, visitors from other countries are frequently shocked. Home cooks, therefore, have the opportunity to go create simply and with a minimum of effort a variety of food unparalleled in the history of the world. Not only can we buy extra virgin olive oil, wood-aged soy sauce, genuine Parmesan, organic salad greens, Maine mussels, Montana lamb, and New Zealand apples without ever leaving our neighborhood, but we have the know-how and the tools to prepare these things in ways that are quick and authentic. Convenience food should, by right, be a thing of the past. Both pre-boxed macaroni and cheese and the pasta with butter, sage, and Parmesan, page 140 in case you're curious, take 10 minutes to prepare from the time the water comes to a boil. Both provide decent fuel for the body. One provides a genuinely delicious eating experience and a link to traditions older than collective memory. Why would anyone not choose the real thing? Similarly, turning a few pieces of leftover pita bread into a salad, converting a less-than-perfect apple into a sauce, these are not only connections to an almost forgotten past, but simple economies that not only save money, but are a kind of alchemy. Gold from garbage. It takes no more time to cook many meals than it does to call for a pizza and pick it up, or even wait for it to be delivered. Grilling a piece of meat or fish and steaming a vegetable or preparing a salad is a 20-minute operation. So is making a simple pasta dish. These may not be meals that you look forward to, or meals that you will remember even a couple of days later, but they are meals in which the ingredients, flavors, and timing are entirely up to you. You know what you are eating, and you know what it will taste like. It is a real experience. Time is a precious commodity, no question about it. But there are few better ways to spend it than by preparing high-quality food for yourself and those you love. Set aside some time each day to cook dinner, and you will find it becomes a rewarding, energy-giving routine. The introduction goes on for a while, but for me, the only thing that Mark is missing is an enthusiastic, "And who's with me?" at the end. Anyway, happy Thanksgiving. I hope you have fun with the bird.